KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gau Media station.
Sports, sports, sports,
sports. So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Well, we got a big weekend coming for the Astros and for football and for sports. Let's just do this. It's a Friday, Friday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
It's Friday, Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody looking forward to the weekend, weekend. Friday, Friday. Getting down on Friday. Everybody looking forward to the weekend. Partying, partying, yeah. Partying, partying, yeah. Fun, 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 fun. Looking forward to the weekend.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a Friday, Friday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman. Call him whatever you want. Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort, if you want to get in today.
Are you going away from my Chocolate Braveheart?
No, I'm rotating. Hmm. Like, Chocolate Braveheart is the primary one.
Okay.
But then there's going to be some days where I work in other stuff, just because I don't want to get bored. So there's that. If you want to get in today, 713-780-3776. We are in studio, so we might take a call or two. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. Send a message. This is how Aaron gets involved, because he reads your messages. So if you like Aaron, send a message. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. And if you wish to comment on the Twitch channel, just go to Twitch and get in the chat room. You can go to ESPN975.com, click on Twitch, or go to Twitch, click on ESPN975.com, however you want to do it. We're happy to have you today. Happy Friday. Although I was just telling AJ, this isn't really Friday for me. It almost feels like a Monday because of all the stuff we're going to do this weekend. But that's okay. This is the fun part. This is my last fun 3 hours of the week. And then Aaron was telling me his ass is going up to Minneapolis to drink beer.
Oh, what a hard life.
Yeah.
What a hard
life. I'll be freezing appendages off while I do it.
Yeah, why are you going in the winter?
Because the flight was really cheap.
Can I just tell you that it is a hub? So flights to Minneapolis generally are pretty cheap, even during the summer.
But my birthday's on Monday, so the wife saw the deal and went, hey, we're going to Minneapolis to go drink beer again for your birthday. So
okay.
Good wife.
But yeah, I don't like to go anywhere north of the Mason-Dixon line after about October 1.
See, I don't mind it because I've spent my whole life down here. So
you're Canadian?
I'm not a Canadian, no, but
but you're kind of
like a week of snow and stuff doesn't bother me. That's kind of
fun.
It
does me. I don't like
because
it.
I know like when I come back, because like now today it's kind of cool outside, but you know it's going to be 90 degrees again in a few days.
You know what? Honestly, that's the biggest concern I have about this London trip is I don't like being cold.
I haven't checked to see what the weather's going to be like.
It's supposed to be 40s and 50s.
Oh, really? Okay, that's fine. That's not cold.
That's pretty cold.
Cold is teens and 20s.
I mean, that's frigid. People can die in that. 40s is uncomfortable.
40s isn't manageable. You just put an extra layer of clothes on.
I don't want to do that.
Aw.
I mean, look at me.
Just drink enough to stay warm.
Exactly. We're going to be drinking British beer. It's going to be fun. Come on. Yeah. You're going to get to go and you're going to go to Belgium and drink Belgian beer.
Yeah.
Who cares how cold it is? It's going to be a blast.
I mean, I still don't want to be cold.
We get to go watch the Jaguars.
Oh, yes.
Can't wait for that.
That'll keep us warm.
Gardner Minshew. But, well, I don't know how much time we want to spend on this tonight. We all know the Astros have to win. It's a must. I think I'm gonna make a sacrifice for Astros fans, AJ.
What are you going to do?
Well, you remember back in the day when I did the Tombstone and they came back and went to the World Series?
Yes.
I'm going to do something I never do. I'm going to be fake hot take guy.
Okay. Well, it doesn't. If you're fake hot take guy, then it doesn't mean anything.
No, but you can record it, and then you can make me sound really stupid.
I mean,
I'm kind of putting myself out there for the people.
Just do it. Just be out there.
The Astros have no chance. They are going to get swept. They're going to lose their ass tonight. This team's a bunch of chokers. They've got a bad front office with bad human beings. They deserve to lose. Everybody loves the Nationals because they're cute. Astros out in four. Okay, save that, and then you can play it back and say what a dickweed I am.
Unless you're right, and then you'll act like you're a prophet.
Well, no, if I'm right, I'll just be like, oh, well, nobody cares. Nobody cares if you're right. That's the thing. They only care if you're horribly wrong. So I'm going for the horribly wrong thing here.
Okay. Yeah, I said before game two, if they go down 2-0, I think it's going to be very, very difficult for them to come back and win. Not impossible. I'd sit here now and say 80% they don't win the series. I still don't think they get swept.
No, they're too good to get swept. But I also think until they hit these guys in the mouth and take away some of the confidence and looseness that they're playing with, then they're not going to win a game. So, I mean, they obviously have to win tonight. There's no way around it. You go down 0-3. I mean, it's happened once in the history of baseball when the Red Sox came back. So you're done if you don't win tonight.
Right.
But I think if you win tonight and get some of your swagger back and kind of give them some doubt, because they don't have any right now. What did they want, 8 in a row?
Yeah, 8 straight.
Yeah, so, you know, they're not too concerned. They kind of feel like they're unbeatable. Well, make them feel beatable. And if you can do that, then I think you can get back in the series. I still don't know, you know, how game four is going to work out, but you've got to win tonight. And if you do, take 2 of 3 there, come home down 3-2. You still have a shot.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think Greinke, I've been saying it, he's due for a really good outing. He's got a good record against these guys in the past. Not so good in the postseason. But, you know, I do think that I do think that it's possible, not likely, you know, all kidding aside. But I do believe that if you just go out there, win tonight, and then game four becomes so important, because if you beat them then, you know the doubt's creeping in. Suddenly it's like, wow, we were up 2-0 on the road, and now it's 2-2, and we've got to face Verlander and Cole again. Are we going to be able to beat those guys again? And that's why the team that's in front, if you catch them, the pressure's always on them. So I think for the Astros, they get to just go out and win 2 in a row, which isn't impossible, and we'll go from there.
I was kind of paralleling this series to, and this isn't a fun exercise, to the 2005 World Series, and you couldn't help but go into that game or into that series confident, especially in the early parts where you knew, I mean, Jose Contreras was a good pitcher that the White Sox had going in game one, but the Astros had freaking Roger Clemens going. And it's like,
but he was so worn down by the end of that.
He was.
Because they had to use him in relief against the Braves, and the whole thing got messed up because of, you know, basically the Albert Pujols home run put them behind the eight ball for their pitching in the series when Oswald had to pitch game one, and or Oswald had to pitch the game against Cardinals. And at that point, Pettit was hurt. Clemens was gassed. And
well, Pettit in game two actually pitched pretty well,
but he got hurt in that game.
And then, the bullpen melted.
Yeah.
And then game three, Roy Oswalt just got hammered. So, like I said, it's not a fun exercise, but there are some parallels. And, you know, I think Roy Oswalt and Zach Greinke have a lot of things in common. They were a little bit overlooked compared to the other two guys on that team, but obviously still a borderline Hall of Famer in both of their cases. Maybe a lock Hall of Famer in one.
The one difference, and this isn't going to be a positive, I think this Nationals team is a lot better than that White Sox team was.
I think so, too.
So,
especially from a pitching standpoint.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about, you know, like I said, Jose Contreras was a good pitcher. Mark Burley was he was fine, you know, but Mark Burley would be the third or fourth starter on this Nationals team. And, you know, they've got two horses that the Astros, if everything goes perfectly, they'll have to see those two guys again, you know, and I don't know. I've become more pessimistic since the end of game two. And then even going back to, you know, the deciding game in that 05 series when Brandon Bakke went out and was basically, he was damn near perfect for 7 innings and really dominated that game. Unfortunately, Freddie Garcia was really good in that game too, and they handed the ball to Brad Lidge. And
really, that was And it was, it's unfortunate because Lidge was dominant all year. Pujols ruined him.
But it was spiraling out of control.
Yeah.
And it two out of the four losses in that series were on Brad Lidge. I mean, it really had spun out of control by the time
because
they got,
if he does his job and they win those and it's 2-2, then suddenly the pitching flips back to where you have the advantage and it's a different series. But
it
didn't work out that way. And you know, the Astros, frankly, this particular group, the only comparison I'll make between this team and that team is they're both playing tight like they're supposed to win.
Kind of.
And that's the one thing that I am seeing. I do think this is a better team, but I also think the Nationals are a better team. So somebody asked, why are the Nationals still underdogs for tonight's game? I mentioned that to you in the elevator.
Yeah, but I think part of it is, again, the pitching advantage. And should they be underdog? That's a different conversation. I don't know. I tend to think the Astros win this game tonight.
I do, too. I think, like I said, I think Greinke pitches really well. And then tomorrow becomes the key, because if you beat them with that bullpen game and get it to 2-2, and then suddenly that swagger's gone, and suddenly it's, you know, the whole thing flips. It goes from, oh, we're the team with nothing to lose, we're playing great, they can't beat us, to uh-oh.
Right.
and that's the thing, until somebody beats them. Because right now you watch them play, and they're fearless. It's like, oh, we got this. And you got to take some of that away. It's just like putting a poker player on tilt. You know, yep. If you got a guy who's playing fearless and he's catching every pot and he's winning, he's stacking chips, you got to do something to get in his head. And the best way to do it is beat him. Because I think a close loss or anything tonight, short of a victory,
is crushing.
Yeah, it's done. I mean, there's no way they're winning four in a row.
They won't. They won't. And I mean, especially the way that this team has. I don't know. The Nationals have, like I said, they remind me so much of the Astros 2 years ago. They're just loose and confident and playing with this swagger. They're having fun. And the Astros look like they're under pressure. And the loose teams beat tight teams.
You know what, you know who they kind of remind me of more than that? Is those Giants teams that won. Really good pitching.
Yeah.
And then guys popping up out of nowhere.
I'm just talking more about like the personality-wise, the way these guys interact with each other. You know, because you remember the Astros were doing all the funny handshakes and like... You know, like when a good example is when, I forget who it was, Kendrick and someone in that last game who they both sat on the bench at the same time. And there's like a meme of them doing or a gif of them doing like, it's like they're revving up a car or something. They're making all the noises. They just have all these things that they do together that, you know, they're buddies. And it's what I always think of the Astros as. It just doesn't seem that way right now. You know, and obviously it's way more, baseball in general is way more fun when your team is winning.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, well, every sport's more fun when you're winning the game. There's no question.
Man, the Nationals just seem like they've got all the confidence in the world right now.
And that's what I get back to is you've got to take that away from them. You got to go in and take their souls.
That's not easy to do though, man.
No, it's not. It's
because
not.
Baseball, we all know baseball is a momentum game. And once one good thing happens, good things tend to keep happening. One bad thing happens, it tends to snowball.
Which is why I feel pretty good about if the Astros win tonight, they could easily go in and win tomorrow. Now we got a new series. But
well, not quite a new series. But
well, it's a best of three.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think at that point, it doesn't mean they would win if they did that. But I think that would certainly flip things and make it a little more interesting. But, again, it all comes down to tonight. You lose tonight.
It doesn't even matter.
Crickets. All right. Hey, guys, I'm going to tell you a way you can win every time. Go to Allied Outdoor Solutions because they can, listen, maybe you need to get your backyard beautified a little bit, custom outdoor kitchen, patio cover, fire features, you need a new pool, any of those things. Well, now that it's cooled off, you want to be outside, right? And if you want to just fix what you've already got, they can renovate your pool deck, your patio, your driveway with their carved stone overlay. And the carved stone is fantastic. It gives you the look of real stone on your existing surface for less. They stand behind it with a 7-year warranty. It's 2 times stronger than concrete. And all kinds of payment options for you, including monthly payment options that offer 0% financing for up to 18 months. And that's why they're an accredited member of the Better Business Bureau since 2009 with an A-plus rating. I don't think you can beat A-plus. Stop by the Allied Outdoor Solutions showroom on I-10 and the Beltway today, or check out the Carved Stone Projects photo gallery at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. That's AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com, or call for a risk-free estimate at 713-465-0400, 713-465-0400.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Happy Friday. 713-780 ESPN. Astros Nationals tonight at 7 p.m. And then after the game, Checkpoint Radio. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. There you have it. You know, I was all excited last night to kind of have a non-baseball night.
And it was wildly disappointing.
It was extremely disappointing. It was, I stopped watching the Rockets when they were up. I thought, okay, this is done. No, not so good. And then the Minnesota game was just awful.
It was really awful. But, and by the way, Minnesota, dude, play to cover.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You can't just run down clock when you know your fans, you know,
they've invested in you.
Yeah, they're invested in your success.
I didn't actually bet on it, but I used it in like my super contest and everything else. It's like, come
on,
you got
a chance to punch that in, and they just were like, no. Even going for it on fourth down at the end, but they knew it was just like a draw play up the middle just to run some more clock. It's like, come on, guys. Just a little
effort. Yeah. That's all I'm asking for.
And by the way, same to you, SMU. I mean, you get so close to scoring. I don't know how many times they get so close to scoring. And then they punt and they push UH back like at the 1 yard line. And then they decide, you know what? We're not going to play defense at all right here. And they let that dude just go like a 90 million yards touchdown. And then it just seemed like all they were doing was just playing to win the game. And teams need to have the same excitement that investors do.
Once they weren't going to cover, and I know you'd invested in it.
Oh, I started cheering for UH.
I wanted them to win, and the way SMU played, they deserved to blow that game because they were just trying to run out clock, and they give UH the ball back with plenty of time, and then they make a good defensive play on third down, and then I didn't like the play call on fourth down, but that ball could have been caught.
And the moment of the game where it was like, okay, SMU's about to run away with things. And then UH scores, but it didn't matter because they were still, you could tell which way the ball was rolling. SMU gets the ball, and the first play they throw an interception.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, and then UH, I think they just kicked another field goal. So it was like 6 points.
Yeah, they got us at 34-31, I think, at that point.
Yeah, it was like, you know, it was at the end of the half.
Yeah.
They had kicked the field goal. And then SMU, instead of going down and scoring again, turns it right back over, lets them kick another field goal. And I was like, what are you guys doing? Yeah, I didn't have a good feeling there, and they just never could get rolling again. It's hard with these schools to say that they're frauds, like SMU's a fraud.
No, they're not, but UH played much better than I expected them to play. And you know, and I think having Clayton Toon out there made a difference.
But
if it had been Logan Hogerson, they wouldn't have been close to
covering. here's the question. Let's say SMU is now the front runner for that New Year's Six Bowl. I mean, when you watch them play a team like UH, who's basically thrown the towel in on this season, what are they going to do against a good team? You know
well,
what I mean?
Well, I think
it's, I mean,
just if, because they're the front runner now, they still got to play Memphis.
Yeah.
Which I still think Memphis is better than they are.
Yeah.
And their schedule is...
But, like, imagine that team against LSU.
Yeah, but that's... I mean, imagine anybody against LSU, not name Alabama right now. That's
okay, or imagine that team against Alabama. Imagine they do
that.
Yeah,
but the thing is, it varies year from year. I mean, and I'm not ready to put these guys into the... I'm not ready to put them in a New Year's Six yet.
Okay.
Because they play at Memphis next week. I can tell you which side I'll be on
that.
That's
the AAC game of the year.
Then they get East Carolina, which is a win. Then they go to Navy, which, by the way, not easy. And then they finish with Tulane, who they should house. But, I mean, they could have two losses there easily. Now, if they get through all that, they're going to have to play a championship game, which could be Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati's probably better than they are.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're having a great year for them. And they've waited a long time to have a great year. But I'm not... They're not a team like UH was under Tom Herman or like UCF has been the last couple of years. They're not that caliber of team. They're a good team that's really well coached and has put everything together at the right time, but they're not at that level. So, I mean, I don't think I'm ready to have that conversation about how they would fare against Alabama or fill in the blank.
Okay.
So, because I think it ends next week.
Well, now I hope you're right. I've been cheering for SMU.
Well, no, listen, they burned you last night.
Yeah.
They're a fun team.
They're dead to me.
They've been good against the spread all year. They've been tested a couple times. They got tested last night. They got tested by Tulsa, but that's the thing. They're getting tested by Tulsa and UH. And, yeah, look at the rest of their schedule. The only win that you can hang your hat on is TCU.
Yeah.
Everything else, Arkansas State's down this year. They barely beat them. North Texas, down this year. Texas State, joke. TCU win. South Florida, joke. Tulsa, eh. Temple was a pretty good win, too. That was at home. And then they get pushed last night. So, it's not like they had... I mean, it depends on what you think of TCU as to where you put them.
Yeah.
Now, they did... I mean, even though that score wound up being close, they beat the crap out of TCU. That game wasn't as close as a score. But... I don't know, man. I think they're fun, but yeah, I guarantee you they play Memphis 10 times in Memphis. Memphis is winning 8 of them.
Last night, tell you anything about the Vikings in the NFL game?
Not really, because of the way you talked about how they played, it was like, okay, we got the lead.
It seemed like they could have done more, but they just didn't care to.
Yeah, it's like Thursday night, short week. We got the lead. We got a 10-point lead. Let's just put it to bed.
I will say it was frustrating. I mean, they were held the field goals a lot. I think they kicked 4 field goals last night. That's, you know, you're not, and that's against the Redskins. That's against a pretty bad football team. You got to get some touchdowns.
You know what, though? I'll give the Redskins credit. They don't look like a bunch of players who quit. They played pretty hard for most of that game. And then, you know, once Keenum gets hurt and they have to bring in Haskins, you know they got no shot. But, yeah, it's hard to take anything away from that because it felt like the Vikings really kind of played extremely conservatively. It's just, hey, we're going to win this game. We know it. Let's just get out of here, get the victory, and screw our fans over who wanted us to cover.
Right.
You know, which not that that's a...
Now, mind you, I kind of don't blame them. Their next two games, Minnesota's next two games, are Kansas City, at Kansas City, and at Dallas. So, you know, if you're gonna coast, this was probably the week to coast.
Yeah.
But...
Wouldn't disagree with that.
I've just been buying into the Vikings as suddenly a Super Bowl contender again.
Well, and I think they still are. I don't think the effort was there, and I don't think it needed to be there in retrospect. I mean, they just wanted to get out of there with a win, not get anybody hurt.
You know what I want to get out of there with? Allstate siding and windows.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, because guess what? I don't know if you guys noticed. It's cooling down. It's a little chilly outside. And before the full-blown winter chill sets in, check your windows now for leaks before the winter gets all the way here. Don't be stuck while it's freezing and you're like, man, what is that? It's your crappy windows, bro. Allstate Siding and Windows for 48 years. They've been helping people save up to 40% on their electric bills by installing the best quality windows and siding. Get 25% knocked off your window package in October with no payments for 2 years. They're family-owned and operated for over 45 years. They've got military and senior discounts available. If you want the best rate, call Allstate. Allstate Siding and Windows, 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936. Or check them out online, allstatesidingandwindows.com. That's Allstate Siding and Windows.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. We do a couple things from the Twitch and text lines. Space Ghost is in the house on Twitch. He says he was always a fan of Tim Lincecum. That was, I kind of felt like that team was very similar to this Nationals team. They had great pitching at the top.
Yeah, Bumgarner and Lincecum were.
And then they had guys like the Panda who, not, you know, I don't know if he was a great, he got paid, but
yeah,
but who had a big postseason.
Well, at the time, Buster Posey was a star.
Yeah. But, I mean, they didn't have a whole lineup full of stars. And I don't think the Nationals do either, but they got a couple. I mean, Rendon's a legitimate superstar. He's about to get paid. Now, a couple things from the text line. Is Cook the best running back in the league? I still think Christian McCaffrey has that title right now, but he's certainly in the conversation.
He looks like a monster right now.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk – well, I still think Zeke Elliott's pretty damn good.
Yeah, Zeke Elliott's in that conversation. Christian McCaffrey is definitely, right, to me, Christian McCaffrey's the front runner at the moment, but you'll take either one of those guys. Zeke Elliott may be, I mean, he may still be the best back.
Like, if I said you can only have one of these players on your team, you're redrafting the league, which guy are you taking?
Boy, it'd be hard for me not to take McCaffrey because he's so much a percentage of the offense.
I mean, I love him too, but
If you took him ahead of me and I got Zeke, I'd be okay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to complain. I'll just hope I outdraft you everywhere else.
Yeah. Dalvin Cook, though, he's worked his way into that discussion, certainly. And quietly, Leonard Fournette's had a fantastic year.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I thought he'd have a bounce back year.
A lot of people talk about Nick Chubb. I mean, I see he's over 600 yards or whatever.
He had that great game early, but
I'm not sold on Nick Chubb.
Well, and they've been getting behind so much that he hasn't been as effective.
And I think we've seen a few guys who maybe no one expected to be in that discussion, who have, like, Josh Jacobs,
yeah,
Marlon Mack, and Chris Carson, who have all had really good years, you know, and nobody was seeing it from them.
And, you know, Kamara's been hurt, so you would expect him to be in that conversation, but he's not right now.
Yeah, Gurley, you would expect. Yeah. He's clearly not 100% healthy.
But that's the thing with running backs.
Le'Veon Bell plays on a horrible offense. David Johnson is suddenly either banged up or kind of a ghost. It's weird because year to year, I mean, Joe Mixon, how many of these guys who we would have said for fantasy purposes were top 10 running backs have performed like top 10 running backs? Because I can... Todd Gurley, no. David Johnson, no.
You're naming guys that are on my teams, by the way. Keep going.
Saquon Barkley, no. Joe Mixon, no.
McCaffrey, yes.
McCaffrey, yes.
Dalvin Cook was a top 10 running back, yes.
Yeah.
Kamara?
Kamara, no.
Zeke?
Zeke, yes. Although it's funny, people were wary of taking Zeke because of the problems he had going.
Well, yeah, they didn't know if he was going to show up.
But like Le'Veon Bell, no.
Melvin Gordon.
Melvin Gordon, no. But a lot of people didn't take him in the first round either for the same reasons. Kerryon Johnson, now he's out for the whole year. I mean, I mentioned Joe Mixon. But there's just a lot of these dudes who aren't living up to what they were supposed to.
Not really surprised. That happens every year with running
backs.
Even
James Conner.
Yeah.
Remember what? Oh, the Steelers don't need Le'Veon. They've got James Conner. Turns out James Conner's like a 3 yard per carry guy.
Yeah. That's not going to get it done. 713-780-ESPN. Texter says, Fred, I said hello to you in the gym today and you ignored me.
Ooh.
Did I?
Sick burn, Fred.
Well, I apologize, sir. I admit I was kind of out of it today. I went and got some Mexican food. And, yeah, I was trying to kind of just escape for a little bit from having to do sports map stuff. And so my head was kind of elsewhere today, so I apologize.
Which gym?
The one closest here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the...
Well, when you go to that one, you're always wary of any guys talking to you.
No, that's true. But, I just... I'm focusing so much right now on work. Like, even going to lunch, that's all I'm thinking about is work. And when I go to the gym right now, I'm thinking about is work. So I apologize. I didn't hear you. If I did, I would have said something. I always stop. I'm not that kind of guy. Now I feel bad. But I'm over it. All right. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Just see that they're already making a big deal out of your Westbrook Harden getting into an argument in the first game.
Oh, yeah. I saw that video. I mean, they played the Bucks, so I'm not panicking yet either. I'm not going to act like that game suddenly tells me that this whole process is a failure. I don't think that it is, but you're going to see that. These are two guys who are used to being the guy.
It's going to be an adjustment period. I saw a lot of good things in that game that if they can do those on a consistent basis, they'll be fine. But yeah, there's going to be some...
James Harden looked lost last night, though. I mean, he was not good.
No, he wasn't, but he has games like that. So they'll be fine. Again, this is not something that they're... And when we were talking about yesterday, betting-wise, like I would have taken the Bucks when somebody asked because I know what they are. I don't know what the Rockets are going to be yet, but I saw a lot of what they could be, and I'm encouraged.
I think that the upside is when Harden has a night where he's terrible, like he was terrible last night, and you can say, well, he had 14 assists. Well, he also had 7 turnovers and shot like 1 of a million from 3, and most of his points came from the line. It's good to have someone who you can count on to go out there and get you 20-something points, because really, Chris Paul hadn't been that guy. He hadn't been the guy that you can, okay, James is bad tonight. Don't worry, Chris Paul's going to carry the load, carry the offense. It just doesn't happen. The problem to me with James is when he's bad, he sort of would prefer to try to shoot his way out of it rather than defer to someone else and just help elsewhere.
Well, and there are times when he can shoot his way out of it, but there's also, we've seen games where he never does.
And by the way, I don't want to just blame James Harden, because he wasn't even the worst player on the Rockets last night. Eric Gordon was horrific. I mean, that's embarrassing. So, and I've never really been an Eric Gordon guy. That last night was why.
But you know what? That's one thing about this team. They seem so dependent on Eric Gordon not sucking.
I don't get it. I don't know why you'd put so much stock in that guy.
Yeah, well, he's getting paid a lot of money.
Yep.
So that's probably why.
And I'll be honest, a guy that I would have liked to see get more minutes, and the team seemed to respond well when he was on the floor, was Daniel House.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not sure if they're committed to him being on the floor a lot. I'd prefer to see him out there a lot.
Well, and I think that's what they're going to figure out here in these first couple of weeks, and how much you can use Chandler. I mean, he looked pretty effective out there. That's all things that'll get worked out. So I'm actually not discouraged. I'm not going to say I'm encouraged, but I'm not discouraged yet. So, because I maybe I'm just looking for the positives, but I did see some things I liked. Just not. I also didn't watch the last few minutes when they collapsed. So. This is watching season 2 of Goliath. I don't know if I ever say hello to anybody in the gym again. I hear season 3 is fantastic. I haven't watched it yet. The wife has. But I hear it's the best one yet. So
it's the best.
It's tremendous. Yeah. And I've been a Billy Bob fan for a long time, so I'll definitely watch it. But I was reading a story the other day, and I was talking with some friends about this last night. We just hadn't got a chance to get to it on the show. But he was apparently, during Bad Santa, he was completely sloshed the whole time they made that movie. That
sounds about right.
And yeah, I mean, I thought the acting was pretty spot on. But like,
it's method, that's why.
But
can't get into character.
He was
talking
about how much vodka he was slamming before he got on, before he went to record stuff, and how there was one part he was so smashed that when he fell down on the escalator, that was real. I'm like, you know, that's, if you're gonna be totally ripped for a show, that's probably the one.
Yeah.
So, St. Patrick wants to know, why the hell is Reddick still in the lineup? I don't care if it's an NL Park. Alvarez can play left. He needs to be in the lineup. I don't know, man. Listen, I have no love for Reddick.
I don't either. I'm not going to argue for Alvarez either, because he would be a liability defensively. If I were going to argue for anybody, I've said it before, it'd be Kyle Tucker.
Yeah, and the problem with
Or Mariznick.
Yeah, even him. But I think he'll probably play against Corbin tomorrow.
Oh, certainly.
But I think the problem with Alvarez is, if this were the Alvarez that we saw during the season, where he's putting up ridiculous numbers,
then you're willing to deal with
it. You'll make that trade off. But boy, the few times they had him out there, he was so bad.
Yeah.
And he's not really hitting either. So I mean, he's picked it up a little bit in this series, but you know, he hasn't hit a couple home runs or done something like that would make you say, okay, I can live with him in left field.
Yeah.
So, the Reddick thing, I kind of hope this is the end of the Josh Reddick era in Houston, no matter what.
The thing with Reddick playing right now is, particularly if you were to go with a guy like Mariznick or Kyle Tucker, you're not losing anything defensively. In fact, you're probably getting better defensively.
Yeah.
At least with Mariznick, certainly. With Tucker, I think it might be net about even. But I don't know. I guess they feel like he's more experienced. They want him out there. But where, you know, I don't know that you're, with his bat, I don't know that you're losing a lot putting Mariznick out there. I think the upside of having Kyle Tucker's bat in there is way higher than the upside of Reddick's.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow, You're not going to play Kyle Tucker because you're not, I mean, against a lefty, right. I can't imagine.
So I'm sure it'll be Mariznick tomorrow. And then, you know, I guess you have to see where you are if there's a game five at that point.
A.J. Hinch said about 5 minutes ago, according to Julie Morales, Alvarez will see an at-bat tonight if they need him in a big spot. And he plans to play him in game five if, in the outfield if they need him.
In
or
game
if they get to game five.
Okay.
Well, that's good to know.
Well, that's nice.
That's cute. All right, guys, I have to tell you about Lions Poker Palace.
You mind if I help?
Yeah, I'd love for you to help, because guess what you could do right now? Guess what's going on right now at Lions?
Poker.
How about a poker tournament?
Yeah, I that was my guess. Or a cash game.
They've got those, too. They've got them both.
I knew it.
And if you want to play cash, it's only $10 per hour. And if you want to play a tournament, start it at 4 o'clock, $12,000 guaranteed for $150. Late registration is till 7:10 p.m. So if you're in your car right now and you're thinking, I'm going to go home, see the family. It's like, no, they don't want you there. They want you at Lions. Go buy into the tournament, win some money. And then when you go home, you can give some to the wife and say, hey, look what I did, because this place is the best.
But the Astros game.
Okay. Guess what?
They got TVs all over that place, man. They'll have the Astros game on. You can play and watch at the same time. It's BYOB. How about that? And their food is out of this world. Guys, follow them on Facebook. That'll give you all the information about when their tournaments are, what they're playing, when they're playing, how they're playing. But stop in and check this place out for yourself. It's like nothing you'll find in Houston. 6134 Richmond Avenue, right here in the city. It's Lions Poker Palace.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Happy Friday. I'm not sensing the excitement about the Astros right now. I mean, I think people are a little...
Listen.
Look, hey, sometimes you get punched in the cojones. What do you do? What did we learn from Batman Begins?
You buckle over at the waist and grab your balls and go, oh. That's what I do.
Why do we fall, AJ? We learned that from Batman Begins.
I don't know, Fred.
So we can learn to get back up again. Come on. They're gonna get back up again.
Are you sure?
No. I'm just trying to give some people... just trying to get some people...
You're trying to keep hope alive.
I am. And... Yeah, we shall see.
Yeah, the current numbers on the Astros. Then it's kind of, I mean, there's been Astros money coming in.
Yeah.
Which I didn't expect necessarily. Astros are minus 150. Nationals coming back plus 135. So.
All right. And I'm not going to encourage anybody to bet baseball, but I would say. That's good value on the Nationals, on a team that's looked like the better team.
And the home team.
And they're at home. I think anytime you get a plus number by a team like that, that's good value. Doesn't mean that it's going to work out. Man, I was looking at some...
And I'll be honest, if you're wanting to bet the Astros, because this series has had so much... I expect this series... I think the game one being close was sort of an anomaly. I think we're going to see more of these games where either the Astros dominate or the Nationals dominate. If I were betting the Astros, I'd bet at minus 1.5. I'd give that run line.
Yeah.
And or the spread.
If I really like the Astros that much tonight, I'd bet them to win the series right now at a plus number.
Yeah.
So, just looking at USA Today did one of their things where they poll all their knucklehead writers and ask them who should be the NFL MVP at this point.
Okay.
It's amazing to me how
we're not even halfway through the season.
I know, but it's kind of the halfway point. It's how much Aaron Rodgers love after one game.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because that guy struggled quite a bit and then one great game. But we saw the same thing, the overreaction with Deshaun.
Yeah, maybe at least he's had two games.
Yeah, but the reaction came after one.
Yeah, that's true. Are we really going to just sit here and react like that every week when it comes to MVP?
Yes, apparently so.
I mean, to me, even though he had a bad game, you're gonna throw Russell Wilson out with the garbage?
Yeah, I guess that's what it's funny because, and it tells you that there's not really a runaway candidate right now.
Yeah, and at this
because stage every of the week season, is someone different.
Yeah, at the stage of the season, there really shouldn't be.
What I will say about Rodgers is that team is 6-1. He's got 13 touchdowns, two picks. He's not turning the ball over, which, I mean, Aaron Rodgers typically doesn't turn the ball over.
He usually doesn't.
So when you look at the total package, it's like, oh, okay. I can see that.
Because when you watched them early, they weren't winning because of him, but he wasn't doing anything to get them beat.
But I do think that you have to have games like that that are just stat padding games, and I think that's what got Deshaun into a little bit of a discussion, is he had a couple of stat padding games, and then you look back at his other games and you go, well, he hasn't been bad. And now he's got these numbers that balloon him up and make you. Now it's like, oh, okay. Now I see what we're working with here.
And that's kind of that's almost how it works. Because that's why it's so hard to react or to overreact to one good or bad thing. Because I guarantee you, if Watson has a big game Sunday, which I think he will, you're going to be talking about him again.
And I think, you know, Christian McCaffrey, a lot of people are throwing him out after one game because he did not have a big game against the Bucs. So, you know, I think he had. I know he had less than 100 combined yards, which, he's had both games against the Bucs. He had 57 total yards this week. The first game against the Bucs, he had 53. Every other game, he's been like over 150 total yards. Yeah. So he's had a couple rough games, and now all of a sudden it's like, oh, man, maybe not him. And for a running back, I kind of understand it, because for a running back.
Yeah, you're going to have to be consistent all year long. But he is carrying that team, though.
He really is. 7 rushing touchdowns, a couple pat or receiving touchdowns. He is a weapon. He's almost up to 1,000 total yards. But, you know, you've got to, when you're a running back, you've got to pile on those numbers.
All right. They did do one story that I liked, because I do think the NFL's changing to a league where there actually are going to be some trades at the trade deadline, which I think teams have figured out that, hey, I'd rather have a stud player than a lottery pick.
Right.
And I'm willing to trade that pick. So I'm going to give you, they did 7 trades. I want to tell you, I want you to see which ones you like.
Okay.
And it starts with your Buffalo Bills. The Bills trade for AJ Green.
I wouldn't mind it, although John Brown has kind of turned into a number one wide receiver.
He really has,
believe it or not.
Yeah.
So it depends on what they'd have to give up to get AJ Green, because we don't know if AJ Green will ever be AJ Green again. Unfortunately, yeah. And, you know, I'm a big fan of that guy, but I just don't know if he's ever going to be back to form.
Well, and that's, you'd really have to put him through the ringer physically to find out if he's worth it. Lions trade for Melvin Gordon.
No, I wouldn't trade for him.
I wouldn't touch that guy, especially at the price you'd have to pay.
Yeah, that's a pass for me.
Seahawks trade for Delanie Walker.
I don't know if Tennessee
can be a seller at this point.
I don't know that they can either. And I think Delanie Walker is a really solid tight end. And with the Seahawks having lost theirs last week for the season, Russell Wilson relies on those guys a lot. The problem is Delanie Walker is an injury waiting to happen himself.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I'm doing that.
Here's one that would make Holly happy. Eagles trade for Chris Harris Jr. from the Broncos.
They need something back there.
So, and he's free agent next season. So that's you might not have to unload number one picks for him. Saints trade for Dolphins receiver Devontae Parker.
No, I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got nothing to lose. No. Although the Saints, to me, I don't know. I don't know that the Saints need to add a wide receiver.
I've never understood the love for Devontae Parker.
Well, he's fine. He's like a solid number three receiver.
Chiefs trade for Jets defensive end Leonard Williams. That would help, actually.
Yeah, that would help them quite a bit.
Let's see. The Raiders trade for Jaguars defensive end Yannick, and I never know how to pronounce his last name.
Yeah, the Raiders need some kind of a pass rush. I could see them looking at something like that. But the Raiders, if the Raiders are one of those teams, they're so borderline of whether they're a contender or pretender right now. It seems like with the Raiders being as young as they are, it doesn't seem like the time for them to kind of go all in. But they do have extra draft picks and things like that from the Khalil Mack trade, maybe.
Yeah, but they're also at a point where, to me, it's kind of a crossroads thing, because the wild card is still wide open to me. I don't think, even though the Jets are technically your wild card leaders, I mean, the Bills are technically your wild card leaders, I don't think they're running away and hiding. I think if you're hovering around 500, you're in a spot for a wild card. So it comes down to, would I rather add a player, or would I rather just hang on to these picks and shoot for next year?
Yeah.
And the way they're moving, like trading Conley, I think, is saying, oh, we're going to wait for next year. A little early for that to me, because they're not that bad. And, you know, I think you win two or three games in a row, and suddenly you're right there in that wild card conversation. And they may be in the division conversation if the Chiefs keep going backwards.
And then, I guess, for the Raiders, you know, especially since we're talking about pass rush, what was Cleveland Farrell, like the fourth pick in the draft, something like that?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Well,
and boy, he sucks right now.
Did we all not kind of question that one a little bit at the time?
Yeah, but that's sort of a Raiders move. They like, you know, they find a body and a physical skill set that they like, and then they say, you know what, we want him. We don't care. You know, we as long as we've got him projected somewhere before our next pick, we're taking him.
Yeah,
and they're very aggressive with guys like that. He just so far, he's struggled certainly.
All right, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. When we come back, we'll go through all the NFL lines for Sunday. And 6 o'clock, we'll have RJ, well, 6:15, right? RJ and Friends.
RJ and Friends, yep. All right, got to tell you about CBDMD.com. I've been using CBD for a long time. My dad uses CBD. I mean, I am a big advocate of this stuff. I call it the miracle drug. Really, whatever you got going on, whatever I've got going on, it always tends to help me. It tends to help with my mood. If I've got a toothache, I'll drop some oil on it. If I work out, I want to recover, I'll rub. They've got CBDMD Freeze, which is something new to me. But since I've been using CBDMD, I've fallen in love with that product as well. And I've never felt better, guys. This is high quality, clean, lab tested, safe, and it's actually going to save you quite a bit of money compared to your average CBD products. I talk about my dad all the time on CBD because he was like addicted to opioids. Like he was on, not opioids, but he was on oxycodone, whatever, Vicodin, and a couple weeks of CBD and he was off of it. And he doesn't use that stuff. He doesn't use those pills anymore. He loves the CBD. And guys, to make it easier, see what they can do for you. They're offering a discount, 20% off your order at CBDMD.com when you use the promo code ESPN975 at checkout. That's CBDMD.com, promo code ESPN975.